doctrine other than that set forth in the Bible, the Word of the living God, are adversarial. They're anti, against Christ. And God's Word says in verse 8, look to yourselves. He thinks and he says, look to yourself. And it's imperative. He says, you must look to yourself that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. He's not talking about himself and his party. He's talking about we as a congregation, him and them as a family. He says, we've got a lot invested in each other. Don't mess it up. Don't stand down. Stand up. Speak up. Stay up. You know, the Bible tells us that's what we need to do. We need to be the kind of people we love the Lord Jesus enough that when the world gives us an error, we step up and say, you know what? The Bible says it's not like that. And you know, it's real easy. And this is my thing. And this is part of the interest of the backstory of this message. I know many believers who will do that. But the problem is they don't know why it's not true. They don't know where in the Bible it says what it says. They just have been told it says it. They believe it. Maybe they were there on site when it was said, and they say, oh, I get it. But they don't know. They don't traffic in it, and they don't believe it enough to where it's in their crevice. They say, no, I know where it's at. I may not know exactly, but it's on the left side of my Bible about halfway down because they know where they read it. And if they had their Bible with them, boy, they could show you right now because they know it out of conviction of heart because they spent time with God. You see, you can't have peace, grace, and mercy without the truth. So you need to get it for you, but you also need to get it for me. And you need to get it for new believers, because new believers need you to have the right answer when they ask you the question and the reason for the hope that's within you. You need to be able to help them, because we need each other. How would it be if you arrived on the scene as a little baby and you sort of came to at about 9 years old, and you're like, wow, this is cool. You know, the brain cells aren't even working until you're about nine, you know. So about nine, you wake up, you're looking around, and Dad says, I don't know how to get food. You know how to get food, honey? No, I don't know how to get food. Nobody knows how to get food. What's going to happen? That's going to be one short-lived family. You see, you and I need to be the kind of people who live in light of the truth. And it's got to be truth in our hearts from God's book. He says, you've got to do it so you won't lose reward. You say, reward? What's that all about? I'm saved by grace. I love that whole concept of Calvinism. Boy, they just can stand down and not do anything. Because, man, God's going to save who he's going to save, and it doesn't matter. It's not up to me. That's not true. That's not what the Bible says. It says God so loved the world. He loved them emotionally. He loved them personally. That he gave his son, that whoever would believe, not just a couple of somebodies that he thought about. It's the Bible says he foreknew who would believe and he let it unfold. And if he foreknew your name and he foreknew my name, we need to step up and help other people see what he's shown us so they can be saved too. Don't you just love it when you know something really good, a good sale, a good bargain? Don't you just want to tell somebody? Yes, man, you go down there. We used to get Subway sandwiches for 39 cents. We had a coupon. I'd get excited. I'd start shouting, going in north, because I not only was going to get a sandwich, I was going to get a deal. I'm still talking about it. And that happened 12 years ago. Make my point? Guess what? You can be saved for absolutely nothing. It costs Jesus everything, but it's a free gift. And you can trust him. You can believe in him. And he'll give you all the desires of your heart. Heavenly bliss. The Bible tells us that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the hand of heart of man the things God has prepared for us. Jesus himself said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I will come again and receive you myself. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I'm going. And I'm coming back for you. Beloved, this world is going down the drain. Muslims are chopping people's heads off. And we're sitting around filing our nails. We need to be realizing. We need to be people of the book. Now, I want you to see where we're going with this, because this letter is very profound, and you need to have it in your arsenal, because there's going to be people coming to you who are full of error. He says in verse 9, whoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Now, his exhortation was that they needed to love one another. And they needed to not only love one another, but also they needed to look to themselves as to whether they were really real or not. And here he's telling them that whoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. Now, folks, you cannot abide in the doctrine of Christ if you don't even know it. Right? I mean, that's true. I mean, I can tell you stuff. I can tell you what I've found. I can be your scout for a while. But there comes a point where you need to come along after me on the trail and see the little signposts I've seen along the way. And after a while, you're like, you know, Mark gets up here, he plays the guitar, he could play me under the table. But I'm coming along after him, and I hear some of the things. I remember one time he was sitting there, he's starting to tune up his guitar, and he'd do this thing called harmonica. That's pretty cool. And you know what? I can now I can hear the resonation, and I can kind of fine-tune without a tuning instrument, though it's quicker that way. But without it, I can find it. Because I've come along, and I found signposts. And you maybe don't even know anything about it, but you could. But that's not the important thing. The important thing is this book. I've found signposts. Mark's found signposts. People who have come before us in the faith have found signposts. And if you'll get on the journey, and you'll get in the track, get in the trench, begin to move along on that route that is a narrow and straight way, straight as a rule can make it, you'll begin to see Jesus everywhere. It's awesome. He's everywhere. He's all over the book. You know what? I'm enjoying Leviticus right now. Really? Yeah, it's pretty cool. Didn't enjoy it very much for most of my Christian life. But I'm getting so much out of it. Because we studied the tabernacle. We studied the priesthood. And we mined the gold. And you say, well, that's okay. But go to John and go to Mark and Matthew. Go to Philippians and find God. He's everywhere in there. And he'll give you a word. And he says, you know what? Those who don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, how do you do that? You just ruminate over him, because that's the rudimentary bottom line of our faith. Jesus is everything. It's all about Jesus. And what has to happen is we need to get it in our minds clearly, because the world is telling us it doesn't matter what you believe. As long as you believe in God, there are many ways to heaven, they'll tell you. But the Bible says, Jesus speaking, I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, it's very easy for me to neglect the doctrine of Christ and be nice and have a nice relationship. Yeah, we get along. I've got my Muslim friends. You know, we have evangelists on TV that used to be straight as an arrow. And now they're quoting on TV programs appearances of Mary. Now, this happened about 10 years ago. Jack Van Empe quoting appearances of Mary and priests who are saying, everywhere Mary is showing up, she's saying, my son's returning. Now, I'm telling you, folks, that is not in the Word of God. He may be coming, and he tells us he comes quickly, but it's not about Mary, and it never will be. Now, I'm telling you, you live in a perilous time. Men have a form of godliness to deny the power thereof. He says, you need to be careful, because if you don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, guess what he says? You don't have God. That means that somebody's going to come along, and they're going to try to snatch your scroll out of your hand. They're going to try to take it from you. They don't want you to believe in God. They don't certainly want you to believe in Jesus. You know, everybody likes to talk about God. Linda and I were listening to a guy, Billy Ray Cyrus, on TV the other day when we were on vacation. He was talking about how God kind of this and God that, and he had a Pentecostal preacher as a boy in some of the United States program. I thought, well, that's really nice. When he came down to it, he never mentioned Jesus one time. Not once. Now, you say, well, he's a nice man, and what wonderful music he makes, and boy, that song blesses me, and I get a kid. I'm sorry, folks. I got the book, and it says if you don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God. Now, I don't know his heart. Maybe there's something back there, but I'm saying that when you're put to it, like this guy on TV, what's his name, who wrote the book for the big team? It's on TV? Help me. You know who I'm talking about. Joel Osteen. Larry King put it to him. Do you believe in hell? Well, I don't want to be controversial. Do you believe Muslims are going to hell? Do you believe they're lost? No, I don't want to be. He didn't want to stay. I'm sorry, folks. I got a word. If you don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God. You say, can you be that good looking? Well, look at me. No. Bad analogy. Because, see, I know I'm homeless. He's not. So you got this whole thing. You got to be ugly to be saved. No, that's not true. Just kidding. I digress. You know what the Bible says? It says Satan himself has transformed himself into an angel of light. They're going to look good, beloved. They're going to look good. And they're going to deceive you, and they want your scroll. They want your scroll. That's what they want.
I'll tell you something. The Bible says that they don't who don't abide, it's telling us that you're going to be challenged on this, and when you're challenged, it'll show who you are. The plane, the planao people, are those who are deceivers. Deceivers are people who wander from it. If your core is right, you'll be fine because you're committed to the truth and the right truth. But if you're easily moved to the left and to the right, you might find in the end that you were false. Jesus said, many shall come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, and he'll say, I never knew you. Depart from me. He didn't say, I knew you, and then you left. He said, I never knew you. He said, didn't we do great things? Didn't we do many great works? Read it, Matthew 7, it tells you. He says, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. There was no balance because they only had their ideas. And the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the way in thereof is the way of death. This is not a game. This is for the whole shooting match. It's for all of it. You got to get this one right. If you don't get anything else right, this one matters. We got to get on task. We got to get to know the book because we don't want to be trusting somebody else's word on it. What does God say? And he goes on and he says in verse 9 about those who do abide in the doctrine of Christ have both the Father and the Son. A lot of people say, I believe in God. I love God. I've always loved God. I'll tell you what. People who have always loved God are probably not saved. It's true. Nobody always loved God. Nobody always loved God. You go tell people you always love God. That tells you something about your testimony because you never came to face-to-face with Jesus somewhere in there because it's not about just God because everything that God has revealed about himself is manifested in Jesus. For in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead manifested bodily. Read Colossians. It's awesome. Christ is the manifestation of the invisible God. I met Christ. I trusted Jesus. I got saved. I was born again. I may not be able to give you the actual date, but I remember it because I was there when it happened. And there was a day when Jericho's wall fell. And he broke my heart. And he saved me. I always believe in God. Look to yourself. Because that's not what the Bible says. He goes on in verse 10. He says, if there come. And this here is the final thing. It's an example because he's trying to show you how this looks. Because, see, people are going to come to you. And they're going to bring wrong gospel. It says in verse 9, 10. If there come unto you any, bring not this doctrine. Receive him not into your house. Neither bid him God speed. These are imperatives. You must not receive him, and you must not bid him a greeting. Really, kairo, it means rejoice. You know how you, hey, have a good day. Hello and goodbye, like aloha. You're not even to greet him. You see, well, that doesn't sound very Christian. It doesn't sound very Christian by the devil's definition. You read the Bible, it talks about avoiding certain people, rejecting certain people, delivering some people unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, and here it says, don't even greet them. Now I want you to look at this. It doesn't just say, don't receive them. It says, don't greet them. Look what it says in verse 11. For he that giveth him Godspeed or greets him is partaker of his evil deeds. Why is he saying this to this church? Because this church was a church that was negotiating away a full reward. Some of them were walking in truth and standing by the stuff and standing up and declaring a truth that was clear, but some of them were stepping back and saying, you know what, you know, I don't want to cause any waves. Beloved, Christians are natural wave starters. It happens. I mean, we don't do it on purpose. We try to buffer it, and we try to be nice, and we try to be careful. We try to be tactful. We ought to be, of all people, most tactful and winsome. Why is this serpent that harmless is us? We're supposed to go in as sheep among wolves. Man, they're going to eat us up. Ah! Not if I stay under the radar. If you live godly, you'll suffer. He said they hated me, they're going to hate you. He says, listen, I set you forth and the world's going to hate you. You're going to be excluded. Well, no, I'm not. That's fine. Listen, the book says that's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. And if you don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, they'll love you. Because you can be a planao. You can go wander over here. Oh, here's a Jesus I can deal with. Let's just all get along. Let's all quote Mother Teresa and how wonderful she was, even though she embraced the Pope, sacrament, confessional. Let's all quote them and say that's all good. I like her. I mean, she's probably a pretty neat lady. Very morally good. A good lady. But from my Bible, I have to say she did not abide in the doctrine of Christ.
And I won't be proven wrong one day. The book says it. Now, if I can't trust it on those issues, I can't trust it on my salvation. Because I'm trying my best to be a person of the book. And you and I say, well, that's hard. Boy, Pastor, that's hard for me to hear. I know. It's hard for me to say. Think about it. Think about it. We're living in a day where we're swimming upstream, aren't we? We look weird and odd, but I tell you what, there are some people who believe in a lie so much, they'll cut your head off if they caught you. All at least we can do is take a little heat and step up and be the church. I have a child that calls me Dave. I need to have a talk with him. I want to tell him this, and some of you young people need to think about this. I want to tell him this. I want to tell him, you know what? You can call me whatever you want, but I want you to know there are people in this world who would cut our head off believing in Allah and believing in an Islam and jihadist kind of goofiness. And they killed me. Now, that's what they believe. They're willing to die. Now, I'm a pastor. And don't you think it's important that we kind of uphold our pastors at least to the level of giving them the dignity of a title? And I'm talking about a child, and some of you, I'd rather you call me, you know, Brother Dave or whatever, but you know my point. I'm trying to talk about children who need to learn respect. They don't even say sir and mister anymore. See, hey, pastor, that's nice. They children are learning respect. You see my point? They're willing to kill and be killed and even blow up their children. We need to be the kind of people who stand up and stay up. And speak up. Because the Bible says that those who don't abide in the doctrine of Christ and who wander into the faith corridor don't even have God. So we have to look to ourselves. We have to ask ourselves individually, am I real? Am I for real? Is Jesus important to me? Is he really? Does he really matter? Or am I all about politics? Am I all about morality? Am I finding the safe spot over here? Because we can all talk about this and we can find, you know what? I spent a week in jail during the rescue movie when it first started. I thought, Ben, you got a good point. I'm going to go out and sit in front of the abortion clinic. They threw me in jail for a week. I was in there with a Catholic guy. He thought he was as good as the next guy because he was a rescuer. He had to work. And he was trusting that. He was more evangelistic than some believers. He goes to a toll booth, he throw in pro-life literature in the booth. And drive on through like a maniac. You know? Christians scared to death to talk. My point is this. This whole thing, are we willing to bleed for it? Because this is 9/11. 2 days. 6 years later. The churches were flooded. But have we changed? Are we different? Are we in the book? Do we know him? Are we abiding or are we a Plano people? Because God wants us to be the kind of people who stand up to God. Would you bow with me for a moment?